The theme of the sermon that I want to preach on today is, in the words of the slide of the passage we read together, is about the body of Christ. I read a book years ago by the late David Watson, who was a minister in York in England, and the book was entitled I Believe in the Church. A very good book it is. I still have it. And it set me thinking very much about my thought about the church and what the church should be and our responsibilities in the church on earth. And I use it loosely, the church, not just thinking of this congregation, but the church as large. I sometimes despair a wee bit for the future of the church. I wouldn't despair when I saw what went out with the children, but that is not what you have here, I'm sorry to say, is not the general picture of many congregations in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and you have a lot to be thankful for. I wonder, what is your attitude to the Church of Christ? Ask yourself, why do I come to church on a Sunday? And I use the word church cautiously because Presbyterians didn't always talk of coming to church. They talked about coming to meeting, which maybe was better. Do you come to meet your friends? Well, that's part of it. These buildings were meant to be a meeting house built around a central pulpit where people met together in plain, simple meeting houses. We come to meet. And of course, we come to meet God, because God is here as we, his people, meet in praise and in prayer. That's one reason. Do you come to receive teaching? That's also part of it. The early disciples, you recall, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, the early disciples, they met together to learn, to study the Scriptures, to put into practice the Scripture, the God's will as revealed in Scripture. And in Acts chapter 2, the Christians in Berea, the Berean principle, the end of chapter 2, that's we're told what they did. They met together to study, to receive teaching, to learn. Do you come together to worship? Of course we do. The primary task, one of the early church fathers said, the primary task of the church is to worship God. What a privilege it is to be part of a church worship. One of the problems these days is sofa church. It was great putting things out online during COVID, and that's fine for people who are unable to get to church because of health or what have you. In my last congregation, we used to have a lady, a former member in Australia, and she was able to reconnect with her old congregation. That's fine. But then lots of people now say, ah, I'd not bother going. My wife said to a couple one day, she says, we miss you. And she said, oh, Mrs. McLean, she said, don't worry, we're still with you. We watch it on a Sunday. So for church. But that's no excuse. That's not the same as sitting with people in the pew, worshipping together as you are doing today. We come to worship. The church is a worshipping community. And I believe that if Christian people are going to make an impact on the world, which we should be wanting to do, we should do it when we're united as a body, and that body is the church. Maybe the reason why St. Paul uses that phrase that we had in that reading from 1 Corinthians 12. Because a human body is an almost perfect analogy to describe adequately what the church should be. A living organism with different members controlled by one spirit. It is the most distinctive phrase that St. Paul has to describe the church. It's discussed in theological colleges, including our own. Now, what are we reading? What are some of the things he says about the church? First of all, he says this. He says the church is one body. One body. Verse 12. The church is one and has many members. That's very, very important. Some years ago, I had an assistant, and sad to say, he made a few kingdoms among himself and little groups together. And I remember saying to him one day, I called him by name, we're not here to build kingdoms. The only kingdom we're to build is the Lord's kingdom. And Paul is reminding us here of this great truth that many in our congregations would like to shy away from. They think that to speak of the church as one body means that they must give up something to accept into their fellowship people who are not theologically sound. When I was in the Christian Endeavor in Dungannon, I remember a couple of us going to a different denomination. I'll not say where it was or what it was. It wasn't a Presbyterian church, but we were made to sit at the back while the other worshippers in that church sat up near the front. We weren't part of them. We weren't seen to be part of their group. On another occasion, a couple of us went to another church in the town, and it was clearly that there were only two visitors there, and the preacher preached at us as if we were total pagans and we were not saved. And the sermon was directed largely at us. It was a pretty intimidating and awful experience. You know, some people think of the church like that. But I believe all over the world we have people who feel their task is, sometimes sadly, is to guard the gospel. Yes, we have to guard the gospel, but not to make it so that people don't find it attractive and want to be coming in. Came on a phrase in North Antrim, somebody said about hedging the church. I don't believe that. I don't find that phrase in the scripture. I believe the church is meant to be outreaching. The church is meant to be open. The church is meant to be welcome. The church is meant to be drawing people in under the sound of the gospel. And the church is meant to be fulfilling the role as the body of Christ. You know, some people, when they think of the church as one body, they put up the hands in horror and they say, ah, no thanks. But then on the other side, there are some people who say, well, sure, let everybody come together and we all believe the same thing and maybe the church should not be divided. And they don't know what they believe. And very often some people believe nothing because they're not particularly sure. What a mess the church is in the world, trying to come to terms with the simple fact the church is one body. Will we ever come to realize that in Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north? There's no division of Jew and Gentile or black and white or Presbyterian or Baptist. It is a case of a believer, a Christian, and an unbeliever. And anyone who is born again of the Spirit of God is a member of the body of Christ, the church, regardless of what denomination, if any, they belong to. All one body in Christ. Will you remember those famous words of John Wesley? John Wesley died as a member of the Anglican Communion, from which he never intended to separate. But he said, "As your heart is my heart, then give me your hand." In the 1960s, we have a little chorus I learned in Auchnacloy at Sunday school. It said this, a little song that went to the tune of the Red River Valley. I'm not going to sing it, but it said, "It matters not what church you belong to, as long as for Calvary you stand. If your soul has been washed in the fountain, I'm your brother or your sister, give me your hand." And that's a biblical truth. One body. One body of which Christ is the head and cornerstone. I want to lift up that thought today, to recognize the unity of Christ's church, not getting so bogged down in denominations. Yes, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Presbyterian like most of you, but that we don't get bogged down in denominations, that we refuse to accept believers of other denominations other than our own, because the church is one body. And then Paul goes on in verse 14 to say something else. He says, the body is not one member, but many, and every member has its own function. And to the church, Christ has given gifts, and there are a variety of gifts. And that is highlighted here in the passage and highlighted, for example, in Romans chapter 12. Gifts. A human body with two heads and no arms would not be classed as a normal, healthy body. People have always been fascinated by how different parts of the human body cooperate together, the brain and the heart, the lungs and the nose. But within the body, there is an essential unity. It was Plato who pointed out, we don't normally say, my finger has a pain or my leg has a pain. We say, you know, I have a pain. In other words, there is a personality that gives a unity to all the parts of the body. And that's what Christ does to to the church. We all have our role to play if we're members of the body. Maybe the reason the church is not moving forward like the mighty army is due to the fact that very often members are not fulfilling the role that God has appointed them to have. The foot, we're told, is not expected to do the work of the hand, nor is the eye supposed to do what the ear is made for. And what happens? In so many congregations, there are those like our square pegs in round holes. They're trying to use gifts that they don't have, and they're trying to play down the gifts that they do have. People who want to do what someone else is doing, but whenever it comes maybe to service or administration or visitation, they don't want to be involved. I take you back to when I was a child, early 1960s, the electricity hadn't come round the part of the country we lived in until about 1967 or thereabouts. People used to gather with a gas light in the kitchen. But people used to gather before the days of television, and the older people here will identify with us. And they played draughts. Now, I don't mean draughts coming through the windows, but you know what I mean. Not often done nowadays. And I remember distinctly such a gathering in our kitchen. And there were a lot of people there. I don't know who all they were, but there was one man, and he was sitting near the range, and other people were sitting at the table at the window, and they were playing draughts. And this man was giving his opinion, what they should do. Move that one there. Or move that king. Crown him. And there he was pontificating from a distance how they should be playing. When that game was finished, they said, right, Joe, it's your turn. He knew no more about drafts than I knew about going to the moon. You see the point? Using a gift that you don't have, or pretending to have a gift and using it, isn't, in a more serious note though, isn't that a bit sometimes what happens in the church? The church is only effective when all members discover the gifts they have received, and not only discover them, but they put those gifts to use. Actions speak louder than words. There's nobody in any fellowship who doesn't have a vital and a significant role to play. There's a minister of visitation. I wonder, has God given you that gift? The gift to get alongside someone, to lend a listening ear. Because if he has, shouldn't you be using it? It's not a ministry that maybe receives a lot of praise and highlights, but it's very important. There's a ministry of caring for those who are sick or lonely or bereaved. Could you do that? Or maybe God has blessed you financially. There's a ministry of the gift that you have been given to help in some way in the church. Technology, nowadays, very important. Music and so many other ways. Working together in committees and so on. There's so many things. There's a ministry of befriending young people. Now, some people say youth are the church of tomorrow. That's nonsense. Because if they're not the church of today, they will not be in the church tomorrow. It's very important. I thank God for those that worked with us when we were teenagers all those years ago, back in Dungannon and so on. We had real encouragement, and that set us on the road to where we were today. The ministry of youth, very, very important. There's a ministry to the alcoholic, to the suicidal, to the scores of people that are going through tremendous problems, marriage difficulties, need somebody to talk to. This is about using our gifts in the body of Christ. Let us prayerfully seek out what gift God has given to us. There used to be a wee man, Billy Hull. He's dead many years ago. And Billy Hull was a man who thought that God was calling him to be a preacher. But the poor man couldn't preach for a slice of toast. But God did use him. And he had a ministry of getting alongside someone and just simply sharing faith in a simple way. And only eternity alone will reveal the effect that man had, knocking doors with the Irish mission of the Presbyterian Church for years upon years, around the working class estates of North Dublin, using your gift. If you're a member of Christ, there's a work for you to do, no matter what age you are, and the advice to get on with it. And then thirdly, Paul teaches that the members of Christ's body are interdependent. They need each other. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And every member of the body needs the help and support and encouragement of each other, and all members working together in mutual sympathy. Let's thank God for the gifts that he has blessed the church. I have no doubt in a congregation this size, there are many, many people with exceptional gifts. But even ordinary gifts, working together, and they're very, very important. If someone is better at doing something than we are, so what? Let them at it. Let's use our gift to advance the Church of Christ that meets here in this place. The parts of the body should never be jealous of each other. There should be no such thing as a Christian in isolation and feeling in isolation in a church. If a limb or an organ ceases to function, the whole body is thrown out of gear. How often our churches are crippled by dispute, by jealousy, by people taking the hump, as it were, because they weren't maybe given the place that they should have had. Did Paul ever say he was the greatest? No, he didn't. Muhammad Ali said that. But Paul didn't say it, that he was the most important person to spread the gospel. No, he didn't. He said, we are fellow workers together. He used a lovely phrase, co-workers, co-workers. Isn't that a lovely phrase? We are co-workers together. And how important that is when the body, the members of the body, are working together for the glory of God, for the extension of Christ's kingdom, to make his gospel known, to build up believers, and to be an influence in the community where we are. So all members are interdependent. If the church is effective, working as a healthy model body, nobody's left out, nobody is passed by. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Ask yourself, are you seeking to advance the work here? There's another side, verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. In other words, the members of the body of Christ should care for each other. The Church of Christ in the early days was known, and you read it in the Scriptures, in the Acts of the Apostles, was known to be a caring community. They met together, they loved each other, they worked with each other. A fellowship of God's people. Is that not how it's still meant to be? United in service, with a common aim and a common goal, and bonded by the Holy Spirit. What a different picture to so many churches today. Sometimes people are suspicious of each other. Some people, there's all kinds of division creeps in, and what happens, the church is not the way it should be. We say, what's wrong? If you have been justified by faith and committed your life to Christ, as indeed you should do, in the risen Savior, having repented of your sin, you're a member of the body of Christ. Wonderful. Let us consider some of the things it entails. One body, just one. And in that one body, many members. Every member important, every member with an important role to fulfill. But the body will only be effective when members discover the gifts that God has given to them and put those gifts into use. All members are dependent on each other. There's an uncomfortable truth in the parody of a famous hymn, the hymn Onward Christian Soldiers. And it reads like this. This is how it should not read, but this is what I'm going to read. It says, like a mighty tortoise moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we have always trod. We are all divided, many bodies we, very strong in doctrine, but very weak on charity. You know how that verse should read, don't you? Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Let us strive that may be the picture of our church and our part in it. Let us pray.